Hello, hello, hello. All right, you're listening to Free Radio Olympia on 98.5 FM. We have DJ Books to Prisoners here in the house with DJ Muscles to talk about Books to Prisoners, which is a local Olympia group giving books to prisoners.
Hello. I'm here to talk about Books to Prisoners and tell people what's going on. Much of what's going on right now has been going on for years at Books to Prisoners. Nothing new, really. Still a lot of prisoners out there need books. So I'll say a little bit about what we do and when we do it, and then I'll ask you all some questions, and or I'll let you all ask me some questions. Maybe I'll ask you some questions, and we can get more specific. Books to Prisoners operates 3 days per week in the home of Melinda Lamb, a resident on the west side. In the basement of her home, we wrap up packages for prisoners about 10 hours a week, Sundays from 2 to 5, Mondays from 5 to 8, and Fridays from noon till 4. We get letters from prisoners all over the country, read them, and go to our shelves full of donated books, donated by Olympia community members and bookstores, find what the prisoner is asking for, wrap it up, and send it media mail to their prison, according to whatever prison regulations their prison has, book regulations, package regulations. So we enjoy doing it. It's a lot of fun, and it's made possible by people donating books and postage money. And we are always looking for new volunteers, new batches of good books, specifically softback books. And we're in a time of transition at Books to Prisoners, and so having some new blood, new volunteers, is really nice. Where our address, if anyone does want to join us, is at 1503 6th Avenue Southwest in Olympia, at the corner of 6th and Thomas. And it's pretty easy to get to off the number 47 bus line or to bike on up the hill. It's about a 10-minute bike ride, maybe a 20-minute walk from the center of downtown. And we also make appointments with people who'd like to come times other than our normal book wrapping times. Our phone number is 352-5460 if anyone would like to do that. We'd welcome you. Sadly, we're not currently wheelchair accessible at our space, but if anybody has any particular mobility needs to address with us, they shall give us a call, and we will do our best to meet those needs. So come one, come all. Help us wrap packages of books to prisoners and pay for it, too. If anybody out there has a donation that they'd like to make for the project, we're always accepting financial aid, if you will, sent to P.O. Box 912-98507. That's the way to send us money.
So how did Books to Prisoners start, and like, what's the history behind it?
Well, Books to Prisoners Olympia started in 1996 because a fellow named Longhair David, commonly known as Longhair David, went to Seattle Books to Prisoners, as I understand it, and really liked what he saw there and asked how he could help. And the people in Seattle said, well, start up your own project. And they gave him some ideas about how to do that. And they started sharing their prisoner letters with us, with Longhair David at the time. And a number of other people have become involved over the years. Longhair David still plays a supportive role, though our regular volunteers are built of a whole different assortment of folks. Now, it originally began in Seattle in 1973. For a long time, I thought it was 1979, but turns out last night I was in Seattle at Seattle Books to Prisoners, and I found out it actually began in 73, making it the oldest prison book project in the country that we know of, formal prison book project. And it's affiliated with Left Bank Books to this day. It came a little bit before Left Bank Books started, an anarchist book collective in Seattle, started up, and Left Bank Books took on the project when Books to Prisoners was very, very young. Prisoners still write to Left Bank Books, Books to Prisoners, and ask for whatever they need in that way. When you send packages of books to prisoners in this country, you have to be associated with a bookstore or a publisher to do so. And so Left Bank Books is a pretty indispensable part of the process because they make us legit for doing what we do. Seattle Books to Prisoners still gives us letters that they receive, and we take on at different times a third of their load. There are some other child projects that spun out of the parent organization, Books to Prisoners in Seattle, one in Bellingham that's very, very new, a month old or so, and one in Portland, which is a few years old. And so together, the four groups take on a load of about 1,100 letters a month, sometimes more. And because of that demand, we stay several months behind most of the time. But we still do the same thing, essentially, that was done back in the 70s. It's a pretty clean project. Not a whole lot has changed over the years, sadly, for prisoners out there who need books. Except that a number of the prison libraries that used to be in place in the prisons in the 70s no longer exist today, and so the demand is actually higher.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, like, what's the state of prison libraries and educational resources in prison?
Every prison is a little bit different. Every state operates differently. Federal and state prisons are different from one another. And most of what I know about the state of access to reading in prison comes from the letters themselves that prisoners write to us. So we get a number of folks who say, well, I'm in prison, or I'm in my cell 23 hours a day. I only have 1 hour out. I go to the library sometimes during that 1 hour. Our library has 5 books in it. Will you please send me something? I promise I'll donate it to our library when I'm done. That's a very pathetic story, of course, but we get it all the time. We also have people who write to us and say that their library privileges have been taken away, or that the librarian in the prison was let go because funding was short, and so there is a library, but there's nobody to staff it, and so the prisoners don't have access to it. A lot of the stories we hear have to do with decreased funding in prisons, and as you might imagine, prisoner needs are sacrificed first before other pieces of the institutional framework within the prison. So reading is not up there at the top of the list when a budget cut happens. And so our project takes a hit each time some sort of cut happens in a prison. And I would say every prison is different, essentially, to answer that question. That their prison library is up and running, but it has really boring material, and that they have a very specific need that they'd like to have met, a specific thing that they're studying or a career that they're planning for when they get out, or some sort of type of oppression that they're studying, and we try and meet those needs.
What kind of letters do you usually receive? Could you give like an example of letters?
I wish I'd brought some good examples. But the letters are as varied as the letters the three of us here in this room would write if we were writing somebody to send us books. I think that our interests probably vary, and they vary, and they vary. We would write those letters probably vary from one another. And the same is true of the letters we get from prisoners. Some people heard about us from their great aunt so-and-so who's on the outside, who said, why don't you write to this organization? Some people heard of us because their cellie also their cellie wrote away to Books to Prisoners and had some results, and so they passed that information on. So how they write to us varies. Their degree of familiarity with the program varies. The letters are very kind. Thankful, I suppose. We get some letters that are just thank you notes that don't ask for specific titles or genres of books like the others do. Any given letter, if they're following our formula for how to request books, names their areas of interest, the prisoner's preferred subjects of book that they'd like to receive. And so we do our best to find what it is that they're interested in. And we do better if they've told us 10 of their interests than if they tell us one specific title of book that they're looking for. Though sometimes we get letters from people that say, I'd like Angela Davis's autobiography and a book by James Herriot. And, you know, they sometimes are very specific, and we have the book that they want. And that's really fun. It's a exciting part of the project, to sort of part of the whole idea of Books to Prisoners, to actually go to the shelves and pick out books. It's a lot of fun to to respond to somebody's individual hope. So that's the story.
How easy or difficult would it be to match up people's interest with the books that you get donated?
It really depends on the area of interest. For example, somebody who asks for a dictionary is likely not to have their need met, because that's the single most frequently requested book, and we run out of them so fast. So some other examples, if people ask for Pulp Fiction, we're pretty able to meet that request. If they ask for a thesaurus, we have a ton of thesauruses or thesauri. If they ask for something sort of vague like fiction, you know, we have a very easy time filling that request. And we do have our library organized like a bookstore. We have a Black Power section and a education section and a books written in Spanish section, a vocational studies section, biographies, health books, environmentalists, books, any number of things you can imagine. And so we do our best, and we have a wonderful relationship built with Last Word Books on 4th Avenue downtown, where we've given them or sold them books in the past in exchange for credit. So if we have a really difficult to fill request and we're not finding it in our library, we take it down to Last Word Books and work with them to find a used book there that suits the prisoner's request. And that's a really wonderful relationship that we haven't always had with a bookstore. And that helps us to meet people's needs more easily. Does that answer your question?
Do you have any questions, DJ Muscles?
Could you talk about, like, how do you know how they started it in the beginning, like how they got access, like the original books to prisoners, like what kind of things they had to do to get in contact, and how difficult of a process that was? You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's funny you asked that question. It'll take me a minute or two to answer it. I'll tell you first what I used to tell people who'd ask that question when they came to volunteer at Books to Prisoners. The story we would tell, because it was the story we were told, was that in 1979, somebody wrote to Books to Prisoners, or wrote, excuse me, to Left Bank Books in Seattle and said, "Hey, you're an anarchist bookstore. I'm an indigent prisoner. Do you have any books that you could send me? I'm really looking to further my revolutionary agenda, and I thought that you all would be able to help me out." And Left Bank Books said, "Cool, yeah, we'll send you some books, buddy." So they sent him some books, and he wrote back, you know, very thankfully. He started spreading the word to other prisoners, and the project grew from there. People started writing to Left Bank just because they'd heard that so-and-so had written and gotten and had, you know, results. And so before long, Left Bank Books couldn't afford to help every prisoner out, and they started a new organization associated with the bookstore called Books to Prisoners, which operated out of Left Bank for a while and then eventually got too big and needed its own space. And people began writing 1,100 letters a month. So that's the story we used to tell, up until yesterday. I went to Seattle Books to Prisoners, and I said, "So Andy Chan is the name of an organizer there who's been working there for 11 years doing this work, probably 13 years by now. I've been saying 11 years for the past few years. He's a very, very good person." And I said, "So recently I realized I'd seen some piece of paperwork that said Books to Prisoners Seattle had been around since 1976. Is that right?" And he said, "No, it was actually 1973. And it was because there was this," and he began to tell me this totally different story. So here, I'll tell you now the story he told me. Who knows how Books for Prisoners really started, but this is what Andy Chan told me last night in Seattle. He said that in the maybe late 90s, he and some others were standing around at some sort of event, a Left Bank reunion, and they figured out who the people were who'd been there the longest and went to them and said, "So, do you know how Books to Prisoners started? Do you have an idea of why this organization is, how it came to be?" And they said that it had actually begun before Left Bank Books even existed. and that Books to Prisoners came before the bookstore. So they asked for more information because I think Andy had heard the story that I just told you in some form. The story we compared last night, he said he hadn't heard the one I just told you exactly, but some parts, some details he had heard. So he asked this person at the Left Bank reunion for some more information, and they said that the project was originally associated with some sort of environmental terrorists who were, you know, fucking shit up a lot and got arrested and were in prison. I asked Andy if he knew what organization this was, what group of people this was, and he didn't know for sure. He thought maybe Ed Mead was involved. This is a bunch of information we're going to go track down and see if we can figure it out. But in 1973 or 1972 or something, these people were first incarcerated, whoever they were, and this small group of people wanted to support them. Friends probably of them began sending books to support them. And then from there, the project grew. So that's the story I was told last night, and we'll have to be doing some research to figure it out. None of the people who are involved with Seattle Books to Prisoners right now were involved at the very beginning. And because it is the earliest prison book project in the country, we don't know who else to turn to for information. But there are other projects in other cities that have some interesting stories of how they came to be, because there's no umbrella over all of these organizations. Every one of them sort of has their own birth story. And it's kind of fun. Usually it has to do with some sort of relative or friend who was put away and their loved ones who tried to help them out.
Where do the letters come from? Do they come from all over or mostly like in Washington State?
Washington State is part of the picture, but half of our letters come from Texas. Lots from Virginia, lots from California. Actually, Books to Prisoners had to make a decision about a year ago to cut all of California if we were going to be able to keep up with our load. So we're no longer doing California, but every other state. Even, I used to say I didn't think I'd ever seen a letter from Maine, but I just saw one from Maine recently. Word of mouth is how folks know about us, and because prisoners get, you know, turned over, put in new institutions all the time, constantly moved around, we really do get letters from everywhere. So we, state and federal prisons, women's and men's prisons, prisons in every state, and some jails as well, though we try not to serve jails as much because they're shorter term facilities.
Can you talk about like the relationship with the prisons? I mean, the getting the books in, I mean, they probably aren't big fans of the project. So.
Yeah. The prisons, it's hard to say. I said earlier that every prison is different about some other question, and that's kind of how it is with our relations with the prisons and their regulations. It's hard to say. The only information we really have is the writing on the package that gets returned to us. And often that writing says something like, on page 26, there was mention of something revolutionary, so the package got sent back. Or, Mad Magazine is contraband, if we had tried to send in a Mad Magazine. Or, you know, so very, very little information on these packages. We don't actually have any direct relationship otherwise with the prisons. They certainly don't seem to be on the side of the prisoner from what we see. They seem to look for just about any excuse to turn a package away. Sometimes we get packages that say, could not read the last name, though we've also included the prisoner's number. It should have been able to be processed, you know. Some prisons will only allow 3 books at a time. Some prisons, paperbacks only. Some prisons have a book list of things that books that are banned, materials that are banned. One prison I know doesn't allow any zines. And they get very, very picky. A lot of prisons, the new trend is for them to require some pre-approval. So the prisoner writes to us, we fill their request, and we have to write back to the prison saying, these are the books we wish to send to Joe Henry. Are they approved? The prison gets back with us. It's getting more and more bureaucratic, which is extremely annoying for us. But we just try and keep it going and try and focus on our relationships with the prisoners instead of with the prison mailroom. One thing I have noticed is that I am sometimes surprised at what gets in when we send some pretty heavily revolutionary materials, even books on violent uprising, you know, if someone's requested for that, sometimes they get in, and that surprises me. And I think that's because the mailrooms are staffed by, you know, workers. And so sometimes it doesn't really come to the attention of the officials at the prison. Or it's not, whatever book we send in is not on a banned book list. I think it really, you know, as is true of other bureaucracies, some things get through the cracks. And so we're glad for that, that a whole assortment of different things get through. We send a plethora of different topics, and it's always a surprise to us what gets rejected. We couldn't begin to tell you in generalizations. So does that answer your question?
Why do you find it important personally that prisoners get reading materials?
Well, I would say that there have been a number of books that were really important for me growing up in becoming who I am and politicizing me or just opening my eyes a little bit to the world that is. And because that was so important to me and is important to me, it seems especially compelling to support prisoners in getting a chance to read what it is that they'd like to read. And so that's really the thing that moves me to do it personally. I also think there's something extremely subversive about being an institution where very few of your personal needs are met, and being able to write to an organization with a specific interest of yours, an interest that makes you unique as you look around and you're treated like everybody else. To be able to write out and say, this is what I'm interested in, this is my passion, can you help me find some reading material to bring me further with that? To read that letter, to go to our shelves, find something, develop a brief personal encounter with this person by writing them a note that says, hey, I hope this is what you've been looking for. Good luck to you in there. And send that package off. There's something extremely cool about that. It feels really, really good and motivating to live in a world with so few answers to so many deeply chaotic, entangled problems, and to get a very clear request from somebody and to be able to respond to it very clearly in a package. I just love that. It feels so good. Another personal link to me is that I have a cousin who's in prison and has been in prison all of my life. I've never had the opportunity to go and visit him. I've never met him. And his story is also deeply complex story with no clear right and wrong dichotomy to point fingers at. He's been struggling for years, and I've been hearing about it for years since I was a small kid. And my mom would send him books from the local bookstore, and that was pretty formative for me to watch that happen, to be interested in why he wasn't getting what he needed in the way of reading material in the prison. And that was very politicizing to learn about what was going on for him in there. And so that's another personal link for me in doing this work.
What are your thoughts on like the trend of transferring money from educational, like building new schools and stuff like that, to incarceration?
I assume you mean cities and stuff that are trying to bolster their economy by building new prisons. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, and kind of like the whole trend of like cutting money from education to pay for building new prisons, which supposedly is going to create new guard jobs or something like that.
Sounds bad, and I believe it. It to be a common thing for more and more prisons to be built and more schools funding to get cut. There's a writer named I don't remember his name right now, but he writes a book called Savage Inequalities about some trends in environmental racism, where whereby really, really depleted schools with very, very low funding are also in communities with really, really toxic slaughterhouses and really giant prisons, and that these things all happen in the same areas. And I don't think that's any surprise. I think that there's something to be said for the, well, I think it's notable that that there's a sort of ironic piece to that about students not getting what they need in school, dropping out, or getting into trouble and ending up in prison. You know, it seems like this is a very clear issue, a very clear problem, and that it's pretty tragic. What do you think about it?
I think it's a bunch of bullshit. But I have like another related question. It's like oftentimes people talk about people re-entering the criminal justice system after already being incarcerated. And I was wondering how like Books to Prisoners supports like educational resources and stuff that might help people to possibly get a job once they get out of jail, or, you know, not return to jail.
I like that question better because it speaks a little bit more to my own beliefs about education. I'm not actually a very big believer in public education as a an effective means to become who it is you want to become. I think that self-education is a really, really powerful tool, and that's what Books to Prisoners really tries to make happen for people in responding to their requests. I really feel as if the best way we can support people in educating themselves so that they can do whatever it is that they want to do when they get out, if they get out, if they have an end date to their sentence, is to simply respond to them. And so when people ask us for vocational books, we do our best to send them. If they want to get their GED, if they want to get a GRE, if they want to learn to be a plumber, if they want to learn to fix air conditioners, if they want to sail around the world, if they want to, you know, even if they want to read a historical romance, we do our best to send it, because education is important, I suppose. And I think the best way for that to happen is for folks to be responding to their own internal desire or some passion that they have that they want to further. And so that's the way I know best to do it, is to help them get what they can't get otherwise.
So if I wanted to get involved with Books and Prisoners, can you describe what, as a volunteer, I would actually be doing?
Well, you would read a letter. We keep about 100 of them, 100 to 500 letters at a time, in a little basket in the corner, and you'd open it up with one of our letter openers. You'd read it. You'd find anything you can imagine. Someone requesting just about anything. I could only begin to tell you every letter we open is different. Different reading levels, different languages, different genders of people write to us. Some people include artwork in their letter. You'd read it. And then you'd talk with the people around you. If you're a brand new volunteer, you'd be asking more questions than you would otherwise, probably about where to find the books that the person is requesting. You would be simply sort of quietly perusing the shelves, looking for the book that they want. You'd be calling on your own experience with a particular subject area. You would ask yourself if you'd ever heard of a particular author, and you'd just sort of decide how to find it. And you'd find the books, you'd weigh them to see that they are 1 pound, 2 pounds, or 3 pounds, because we pay for specific rates of postage. So we spend a lot of time weighing our books. Lightweight books are our favorite donations. And you would write a mailing label, and you'd write a note that was somehow, it would refer to the prisoner's note. It would tell the prisoner why you chose the books you chose. And then you'd package it all up, and someone else would wrap it up later, and we'd get it in the mail. It's really simple work. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun for people who like to read themselves, because they have a lot of points of reference for people. And it's a pretty colorful space. We have free popcorn, free tea. We all just sit around and We talk sometimes. Sometimes it's relatively silent. We bring music. We just sort of kick it in the books to prisoner space, drinking hot tea and popcorn. And we really enjoy it. A lot of the people who are there seem really to just want to stay for hours, and it's kind of hard to lock up when we're supposed to leave because people do enjoy being there a lot. There's something really special about the work, and people seem really hungry for a way that they can get their own need met to reach out and have an effect on the world. It's a pretty bleak world, I think, and having a pretty simple thing to do that's heartwarming, that's very, very effective, is good.
I went to my first Books to Prisoners meeting Sunday, and I can say without lying that is what happens there, and it's very friendly atmosphere, and it is, I mean, it sounds kind of like it could be kind of dry just looking at books, but I had an enjoyable time, and I was there for 3 hours, and it went by very quickly. Before I knew it, we were done. But everyone there is very nice, and the work is fun and rewarding. It's interesting to read those letters, and it's a nice direct kind of thing to accomplish as far as activist stuff is concerned. But it's a good personal touch on that kind of stuff to be able to read those letters and write back to them, even just a little short note to them. It's a good feeling. But I was also going to ask you how you guys get your funding and donations, and if you guys have any events coming up.
Well, we're always in need of funding. Always, always, always. There's a postage increase January 8th that we're chattering our teeth about. We are having, this isn't a fundraiser, but this is an event that's coming up. We're having a rap-a-thon, W-R-A-P-a-thon, rap-a-thon, this Thursday at 9 a.m. until about 8 p.m. We're going to wrap as many packages, that is, fill the letters and wrap each package, as many as possible before the postage increase. And we just bought a bunch of stamps with what money we have remaining in our account, and we're just going to stamp them, get them out. So we invite people to come and join us for that, I guess it's 11-hour stretch of letter filling. Should go by pretty fast. Let me see. We are nearing the end of our bank account right now. We had a pretty successful secret cafe in October that we're nearing the end of. We made about $1,200 that night, and thanks to a lot of people who showed up, people who've supported us throughout the years and new people. But $1,200 only lasts about 2 months for us. And all of our money, with the exception of $50 in rent and $10 or $15 or so in phone bill, goes to directly to the postage. And so anybody who donates money can really count on that going to pay for a 37-cent stamp, $1 stamp, a 5-cent stamp to get it out the door. We have other events, shows. I'm about to start doing some more grant writing. We've written, different volunteers have written grants in the past, and that's something that we need to be doing more of. We just had a booth at the craft fair. You can imagine that we just sort of do what we can, especially when our need is great. We get back out there and make some more money. We don't have any fundraisers coming up right now, so it's just the ongoing support from community members that we need. We also heard rumor of a donation from the Olympia Food Co-op, which we're really grateful for. Not official yet, but we've heard from a few different sources that the board of directors there has offered Books to Prisoners a chunky donation. And so thanks to all the food co-op shoppers out there who helped the co-op to make a profit this year, because they turned that money into a donation for our organization and others. Vivian, through the grapevine, some anonymous person named Vivian donated $2, dropped that in our kiosk outside of our space the other day. And that made our day. You just have $2 in an envelope. I thought that was pretty cool. it really just seems to come together on some level. But we would get a lot more packages out the door if we had more funding. So again, that P.O. Box, if anybody wants to write books to prisoners a check, it's P.O. Box 912, Olympia, Washington, 98507. And you can also just send stamps, books of stamps. We really appreciate that.
Great. Can you tell the contact info again and anything else you'd like to add?
Sure. So contact information again. Our phone number is 360-352-5460. Our email address is btpoly@resist.ca, the first two letters of Canada. That's btpoly@resist.ca. We're working on a website, and encourage people to get in touch with us in any way they can. Our hours of operation are Sunday 2 to 5, Friday noon till 4, and Monday 5 till 8. And we encourage people to come by 1503 6th Avenue Southwest in Olympia at the corner of 6th and Thomas. You can see our signs out at the corner, the foot of the driveway, the garden bed that say Books to Prisoners. Anytime you see those signs out, you can come on by down through the garage and into the basement of Melinda Lamb's home. We really love having new volunteers. And he said, is there anything else I want to say? I think the thing I want to say is thanks to Long Hair David. He's been a really important part of this community and has been through a lot of changes in his life and seen the organizations he's been involved with through a lot of changes. And he's had a strong effect on me in my life. I just want to say thanks for getting Books to Prisoners started in Olympia in 1986 and for your ongoing support. Thank you, Long Hair.
Cool, and thank you, DJ Books to Prisoners.